Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this Trinity Sunday. Every year, 8 weeks after Easter, this particular Sunday of the church year is set aside to review a basic fundamental teaching of the Bible about our God, that our God is triune, three unique persons and yet just one God. And we celebrate and review that truth in today's service in our hymns, prayers, scripture lessons, and sermon. After the first hymn, we'll follow the service that begins on page 3 in the service booklet that you received as you came into the church this morning. With the exception of the first hymn, all of the hymns are found in the red hardcover hymnal, but our opening hymn, number 724, will be found in the blue paper cover supplement. Come, let us worship the Lord. Please stand as our service begins on page 3 in the service booklet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing.
I believe that God so preserves me, by rich chain and daily, by clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and
I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. Purchased and washed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of hell. Not with the Lord's sword, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me.
I believe that I cannot, by my own faith or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, that will come to me, that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and he said with Jesus Christ,
if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Almighty God and Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, filling and renewing all creation by your eternal Spirit, and manifesting your saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, in mercy cleanse our hearts and lips, that free from doubt and fear we may ever worship you, one true immortal God, with your Son and the Holy Spirit, living and reigning, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, the children may come forward and sit in the front pew on the congregation's left side for the children's sermon. Lots of people in the front row. I love this. It's great to have you all here. Thanks for coming, everyone. Good morning. It's good to see you. How many of you like to do math? lot of you like to do math. That's good news for St. Mark's School. Good news for the teachers. All right, maybe math is one of your favorite subjects. I have a math quiz for you today. You ready? I have three easy problems. Let's see how you do. Emma's going, no, I don't want to do the quiz. That's all right. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to do it either. You ready? 2 plus 2. Oh, piece of cake. Here's another one. Ready? 10 minus 9. 1. Piece of cake. Here's the last one. This one's tricky. You got to think about this one. You ready? It's not tricky? You don't think so? All right. We'll see if you're right, Riot. 1 plus 1 plus 1. 3. 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3. If you wrote that down, if Miss T asked the first and second graders what 1 plus 1 plus 1 is, and you put down 3, would it be right or would it be wrong? It would be right. Yeah, that's the right answer. But if you're in Pastor Stray's catechism class, or Pastor Schmidt's catechism class, and the question is, what does 1 plus 1 plus 1 equal? Do you know what the answer is? The answer, Phoebe's going to know because she's in catechism, yeah? It's 1. It's 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. In today's church, now that's not the right answer in math class. Don't put that down for Mr. Walker or Ms. Thrams or Mrs. Boschek or Mr. Bauer. But when we learn about God's Word, we learn that God the Father, who is one person, and God the Son, who is one person, and God the Holy Spirit, who is one person, equal how many gods? Just one. Does that make sense? How does 1 plus 1 plus 1 equal 1? Does that make sense? Can you figure that out? I really can't figure that out. But does that mean it's not true? It's still true. There's lots of things I can't figure out. I can't figure out how come those clouds float up there in the sky. I don't know how that works. But somebody smarter than I that knows about weather could probably explain it, right? And they'd be right. And even though I don't understand it, it would be right. I don't know how those airplanes fly up in the sky. That's pretty cool. Have you ever flown on an airplane? It's a lot of fun, right? I don't know how that works, but it works. It's true. Nobody knows how 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Nobody knows how God can be three different persons and yet one God at the same time. I can't explain that. But is it still true? Absolutely, it's still true. The Bible teaches us that, and today we're celebrating that. We're remembering that God the Father made us, He created this world, and He made every one of us. And we're remembering how Jesus, God the Son, came to this world to save us from our sins and to go to the cross to pay for our sins and to rise from the dead so we could go to heaven someday. We remember how God the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to work faith in your heart. He uses baptism to bring you into His family. We're remembering how God the Father, Son, and Spirit all work for us today to bring us into His family and to take us home to heaven someday. But I don't understand how it works, but it's still true. And so just as I don't understand how other things work, like how planes fly, but it's still true, in the same way nobody knows how God can be three and one at the same time, but it's true. It's kind of neat, isn't it? That God is so much more powerful and more intelligent and above and beyond us. It makes us want to praise Him. It makes us want to thank Him. So let's close our children's sermon now. Let's close with a short prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank You that You have loved us so much that You did everything to save us. And we thank You that You have revealed Yourself in a way that we don't understand, but we rejoice to celebrate. We thank You, O Father, for making us. We thank You, Jesus, for taking our sins away. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for bringing us into Your heavenly family. Keep us in this faith. Keep us always trusting and believing in You every day of our lives, so that we look forward to the day when we will celebrate with You, O Triune God, eternally, forever in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your attention. You are a good congregation. You can go back to your parents now. While the children return to their families, I invite you to return to page 6 in the service booklet, where the scripture lessons for today's service begin. The first lesson for today's service will sound very familiar. It is the blessing of God that He instructed the high priest Aaron to speak over the people of Israel. And in this threefold blessing, we see a subtle hint at the three persons of the Triune God. A reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put My name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm for today's service is Psalm 150 on page 7. The left half of the congregation will sing the first half of each verse. The right half will sing the second half of each verse, and we will all join to sing the refrains and the doxology at the end. Psalm 150. The second lesson for this Trinity Sunday will be the basis of today's sermon and shows us, in another sense, the threefold blessings that we receive from our triune God. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16. In the gospel for today, Jesus explains the relationship of the three persons of the triune God. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 177. Although Memorial Day is just around the corner, viewed by many as the unofficial start of summer, I'd like to move you forward a bit in summer to another summer holiday, Independence Day. Imagine that it's the 4th of July, you are gathered with your family, the sun has set, you have gone to the the public park or area where everybody in the community gathers to watch the fireworks. You are seeing a grand display, the likes of which you haven't seen in a long time. Maybe one of your kids or grandkids is sitting on your lap. At that moment, do you think it would be the right time to turn to that child on your lap and to begin to explain scientifically, in precise language, how exactly it is that fireworks explode up in the sky? No, not at that moment. Maybe there's a time when that is appropriate and that would be interesting, but isn't that the moment to just sit back and soak it in and enjoy this grand display and celebration of our independence? Last week was Call Day at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, our national church body's seminary that trains pastors for service in our congregations. Call Day is also the service where our graduates find out, with 1,000 of their closest friends present, in a church service, where exactly they will be serving for the first time in the public ministry. A son of St. Mark's congregation, Gunnar Lederman, graduated from the seminary last week and discovered, with 1,000 of his closest friends in that service, that he will be serving a Wells congregation in Rockwall, Texas, to begin his ministry. Now imagine that you are there, along with 1,000 fellow Lutherans, belting out hymns like the one that we just sang, which was their opening hymn, belting out hymns at the top of your voices. There is all sorts of excitement and enthusiasm. You can feel it in the room. It's palpable. There's a little bit of nervous energy because as that clock keeps ticking, eventually after the sermon, which we hope isn't too long, we're going to find out that list. The president of the synod is going to stand up and read that list of assignments into the public ministry. Do you think that right when President Schrader steps into the lectern and starts reading off the assignment list, that that would be the right moment to turn to your neighbor on either side and begin to explain to them the intricacies, the ins and outs, the policies and procedures of the call process? You think they want to hear that at that moment? Or maybe that's the moment to just be quiet and to sit back and listen to the list and feel the energy and excitement and even nervousness in the room, and just soak in this incredible moment for everything that it is. Today is Trinity Sunday. The Christian Church has been celebrating the Sunday that lands 8 weeks after Easter as Holy Trinity Sunday since 1334 AD, officially, and unofficially for even longer before that. And I suppose there are two ways that we could soak in this Trinity Sunday and experience it. We could turn worship into exclusively an academic experience. We could take a look at the Athanasian Creed that we recite once a year that we'll speak after the sermon today, and we could slice it and dice it and analyze it, and we could look at other historic Christian statements of faith and just look at this day as academically as possible. Now, there's no doubt that there are times and places to do that kind of study and work. But we also would like to celebrate the divine fireworks display of God's blessings to us as the triune God that He is. We want to take in this day and celebrate and soak in all that God is, all that He reveals to us, and the blessings, especially the blessings that come to us from the unique three persons of our one triune God. That's really what we're going to do in this service today, and that's the direction our sermon is going to take, as we focus in on the second lesson for today's service from Romans chapter 5. That's where the Apostle Paul will help us to celebrate and soak in and enjoy the blessings, the threefold blessing that he talks about from our triune God. This threefold blessing from God includes peace before the Father, access through the Son, and hope from the Spirit. Citrus Heights made the news on Thursday night. Did you see that? It wasn't good news. Serious crime took place in the apartments down the street here on Birdcage. And when you see something like that happening in your neighborhood, doesn't it get you upset? Doesn't it make you want to figure out who this criminal is and throw the book at him? Don't you wish there would be some judge or jury who would take these people that take away the safety of our neighborhoods and really throw away the key once they lock them up? We're not going to tolerate that kind of behavior in our community. Well, God doesn't tolerate that kind of behavior either. In fact, God has a zero tolerance policy, not just for criminal violence. God has a zero tolerance policy for all sin. Some people argue that when God says he has a zero tolerance policy for sin, what he means is the really bad stuff, the crimes that make the evening news. Or some people argue that God is being unfair when he says that sin includes everything that we say or do or even think that goes against the clear standards in his word. But God's zero tolerance policy for sin still stands. If you break a statute or you break a law, you'll spend some time behind bars. But if you break God's zero tolerance policy, you will spend an eternity behind the spiritual prison bars known as hell. But now listen to what Paul has to say in the second lesson for today. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's zero tolerance policy demanded that sin be punished. But as we stand in heaven's courtroom accompanied by Jesus, our defense attorney, something amazing happened. We are acquitted. We are declared not guilty. No, God's didn't ignore his zero tolerance policy for sin. Rather, Paul tells us that we are acquitted or declared not guilty through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus' life and death met all the requirements mapped out in God's law, his zero tolerance policy for sin. Jesus' life met all of the standards for his zero tolerance policy perfectly. And Jesus' death on the cross paid the punishment that God demanded from us for all the times that we had failed to live up to God's policy against sin. If you take a look at God's zero tolerance policy in the Ten Commandments, and then you take a look at your own life, the idea of meeting God face to face someday doesn't seem all that appealing. But Paul tells us that it's just the opposite. We have peace before God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who has ever walked on this earth and whose trust rests in the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross have no reason to fear facing God. Those fears have been removed because Jesus' victory over death declares that the terrors of sin have been overcome by the peace and tranquility that God gives our souls through faith in Jesus Christ. On Trinity Sunday, we're not simply going to take our catechisms off the shelf and review the Bible basics about our three-in-one God. Today, we're going to marvel at the mystery of our triune God, and we are especially going to marvel at this threefold gift from our triune God. And one aspect of that gift is peace before God the Father. Think about the spiritual impact that this peace gives on your life. So many people go through life without peace with God. They wonder and worry about their relationship with God. They live in fear of God because they can only sense him as an angry judge who is out to punish them. But through faith in Jesus, your relationship with God is not one of fear, but one of peace. You have a perfect peace that is given you through the perfect Son of God, Jesus. You have a complete peace, a powerful peace that overcomes our every sin because our Lord Jesus has blotted out our sin and guilt and the stain of those sins before his Father's presence. If you are a St. Mark's member who is not on the staff and you are here on the campus and you want to log on to the internet, you need an access code. You need a password. And fortunately, it's pretty easy to find because we reprinted on the last page of just about every Sunday service booklet, although now is not the time to look that up. But once you have that access code, you have free reign over getting onto the internet. You're able to access Wi-Fi, and it really works for many public networks that way. You enter the password, you enter the access code, and voila, you have access to the World Wide Web. Well, God has an access policy. There's a correct way to access God, and it's not through a password. St. Paul says, through Christ we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The peace that we have before God is directly connected to another blessing that our triune God gives us, and that blessing is access. Believers in Jesus have complete access to God's heavenly throne. Believers' access to God isn't like a Wi-Fi signal that requires a password that you have to know, and then you can't have too many people using the network at once, otherwise the message doesn't get through, your access is blocked. No, Christians received their access to God the very moment that he brought them to faith, for many of us at the baptismal font. And we enjoy that access anytime we need to approach the throne of God with our prayers and requests and concerns. On this Trinity Sunday, we're not simply going to take our copies of Luther's Catechism off the shelf and review the Bible basics of our three-in-one God. Today we want to celebrate the mystery, marvel at the mystery of our triune God. And part of that mystery is the threefold blessing that God gives us. One aspect of that blessing is the access that we have through Jesus Christ. So many people go through life wondering how and worrying that they don't have access to God. They wonder if they'll ever be good enough for God to listen to them, or if their past is so shaded with sin that God would never give them a hearing. But through faith in Jesus, your relationship with God is not one of access denied, but of open access, anywhere, anytime, for any reason, through prayer. We can approach God with total confidence, total access, because our Savior Jesus has permanently opened the doors of heaven's throne room for us. And so now he assures us that every prayer that we offer to him, he will hear and then answer in a way that will best benefit and bless us ultimately, so that we stay close to him. Some people hoped for no precipitation yesterday. They had a plan for a rummage sale or a family picnic or some other outdoor gathering, and they were hoping that we wouldn't get any rain. Other people hoped that we would get precipitation yesterday, because even though we had a reasonably wet winter, we've had reasonably dry summers for a long time and dry winters, and we need to overcome that drought, and so any amount of rain is helpful. But notice that our hoping in this context doesn't change a whole lot. I can hope really hard that there's no rain. I can hope really hard that we set a record rainfall today, but that hoping in and of itself doesn't change anything. Ask the people of the Midwest if hoping for no snow in April does any good. It doesn't. When we use the word hope in casual conversation, we usually mean that we just want something to happen, but our hoping doesn't necessarily make it happen. God has given his children a special kind of hope, a hope that is much more solid and certain than hoping for a certain weather forecast. St. Paul says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." This isn't a kind of hope that's uncertain. This isn't a pie-in-the-sky kind of hope. Hope from God is a certain hope. In fact, Paul says it's so certain that we can even boast about it. That's right. We can actually boast about our hopes. This isn't an arrogant type of boasting. This isn't Peter Pan boasting that he defeated Captain Hook. This is a positive boasting. Paul invites his readers to boast in the positive hope that God gives them. Paul says that there are two unique things that Christians can boast about. First, we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. Believers can rejoice in the sure and certain promise of the hope that they will share with all other fellow believers in the glories that God will give them in eternity. But Paul also says that Christians can boast in something that sounds a little strange at first. We also boast in our sufferings. In order to demonstrate how we can boast and celebrate in our sufferings, Paul lists a chain of virtues that helps to explain his point. The first link in the chain is that suffering produces perseverance. When Christians strive to work through the difficulties of life, that striving works in them a patient endurance, a kind of character that keeps chugging forward even when it seems like the world is against them. And the next link in the chain then is that perseverance produces character. As a result of continually striving forward, even in difficult times, Christians develop the kind of character that comes from continually passing those tests in life. And finally, Paul says that this character produces hope. Children of God always, always have something better to look forward to, whether life is going well or not so well. believers can always put their hope in the sure and certain promises of a perfect life to come in heaven. So where does this kind of hope come from? Paul concludes our reading by telling us that answer. He says, "Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." A Christian's hope comes from the Holy Spirit of God and the love of Jesus that is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the peace that we have before God the Father, the access that we have through God the Son, and this hope are all blessings of the Holy Spirit that flow out of the faith that he has placed in the heart of every Christian. On this Trinity Sunday, we're not simply going to take our copies of Luther's Small Catechism off the shelf and review the Bible basics of our three-in-one God. Today we're going to celebrate and marvel in the mystery of our triune God, and we are especially going to marvel at this threefold gift of our triune God. And one part of that gift is the hope that we have from God the Spirit. Think about the impact that that hope gives you in your spiritual life. So many people go through life without a concrete hope. They put their hope in themselves, their abilities, their talents, their accomplishments, their family, but they have no true hope for eternity. Through faith in Jesus, our relationship with God is not one of hopelessness, but one of complete hopefulness. We walk through this life with a sure and certain hope, despite all the headaches and heartaches that we face, despite every curveball that Satan throws our way. You and I have an unshakable hope from the Spirit, who enables us to work through the pressures of this life as we look forward to the glories of the next. Education is very important, and so is celebration. It's important that we educate our children about the history of our country. It's important that we explain to our children the symbolism found in the stars and stripes of the American flag. But when July 4th rolls around, you're probably not going to spend the day giving your kids a quiz on the Revolutionary War, and you're probably not going to spend the day reading a book about Betsy Ross. You're going to don your red, white, and blue. You're going to take in a parade. You're going to soak in the fireworks. And you are going to find other ways to celebrate the freedom that you enjoy as an American citizen. It is vitally important that we learn and understand the Bible's teaching about our triune God. When Trinity Sunday rolls around, it is very fitting and appropriate that we conclude the sermon by speaking the words of the Athanasian Creed, that precise ancient statement of faith that defines what the Bible teaches about our three-in-one God. But then we also celebrate. We don't try to explain how God is one and three at the same time. We can't do that. But we bask in the comfort of the God who is three and one at the same time. We bask in the comfort of the God who is so great that he is above and beyond our comprehension, and his gifts are so great that they are above and beyond our comprehension, but not above and beyond our appreciation. Let the message of this Trinity Sunday fill your mind with awe and fill your heart with thanks. Amen. Please turn to page 9 in this morning's service booklet. As is traditional on Trinity Sunday, our confession of faith today is an excerpt of the Athanasian Creed. This 5th century statement of faith was written to defend two important Bible teachings. One of those Bible teachings is the teaching that God is three persons and one God. That's the first portion of the Athanasian Creed, and that's the portion that we will recite this morning. I will speak the text printed in regular print. The congregation will speak the text printed in bold and indented print. Whoever wishes to be saved must, above all else, hold to the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all things will certainly perish forever.
Now this is the true Christian faith.
We worship one God, three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing persons or dividing.
For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is distinct.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one.
What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet they are not three, nor eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated, and one who is eternal.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty.
And yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord,
so the true Christian faith forbids us to be three gods or three lords.
The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son. And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior.
But all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal.
So that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons.
Whoever wishes to be saved must have expectation.
You may be seated as the offerings are now gathered. In this morning's prayer of the church, we will include special intercessions on behalf of Linda Renz, who has been suffering for some time with ALS and whose health is declining. We also pray for Robert White, who is the grandfather of our member Sarah Cordova, who is hospitalized and likely close to being called home to heaven. Let us pray. Triune God, you are the one eternal God whose name we praise forever. We could not have known you, our only Savior, if you had not revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons, yet one God. Remove from us all unbelief and give us a humble faith as we contemplate this holy mystery. Scatter all those who are wise in their own minds and give us a simple childlike trust to worship you as Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity. God our Father, whatever good is in us, whatever good things we have, and whatever good we do comes from you alone. Open our eyes to see the gifts you shower on us daily, purely out of your own fatherly love and care. Lord Jesus, our Savior, you came into our world to make the Father known to us. You joined yourself to us by taking on our humanity. You brought us back to God by shedding your blood on the cross. In love, you walked the way of suffering and bore alone the wrath of God, the wrath that we, by our sins, deserve. Help us believe that all you did, all you suffered, and all you endured, you did for us, to rescue us and set us free. In the bright new hope of your resurrection, teach us to offer our lives each day in praise to God and in love to our neighbor. Creator Spirit, you have opened our eyes by the bright light of your word. You have burst through our deafness with the clear sound of your voice in the scriptures. You have breathed into us new life by the power of the gospel. Through word and sacrament, help us grow in understanding the breadth and depth and height and love of the love of God. Make us firm in our resolve to do battle against sin. In every weakness be our strength, that we may show ourselves to be God's true children, faithful in prayer, constant in hope, and fervent in love. O Lord, you are the great physician of soul and body. You chasten and you heal. We pray that you would look with mercy on your servants, Linda Renz and Robert White, in their weakened conditions. Even as their physical strength wanes, strengthen their faith in your gospel promises of forgiveness and eternal life, that they may have confidence in their heavenly future as they struggle with earthly pain and illness. Deal compassionately with your servants and bless the medical means employed on their behalf with your merciful power. We commit them to your gracious mercy and protection, for you are a faithful and merciful God. O Holy Trinity, you are the God of all glory, the God of grace, and the God of every comfort. From you and through you and to you are all things. We rejoice to call you Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so to praise your holy name forever. Amen. Our service continues with the next hymn, number 193.
Thank you.
Worship concludes on page 11 in the service booklet. Please stand. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning again. It was good to be in God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to be reminded of the peace and hope we have in our Holy Trinity Triune God. We extend a warm welcome to all of you who are guests and visitors. We're thankful for the opportunity to share Jesus' love with you. Pastor Schmidt in the back or Pastor Stray would be happy to connect with you in the lobby after the service and help you learn more about St. Mark's. We encourage you to worship with us again. We have a special welcome to share this morning. This coming summer, Mr. and Mrs. Walker are retiring, as you know, and they will be replaced by Brett and Adrian Bengel. Adrian is with us this morning. She's been out here the last few days house hunting, and we have the opportunity to get to know her a little bit this morning. She's in the back there. Let's give her a warm welcome. A few announcements to highlight for you. Our Lutheran Women's Missionary Society would like you to know that we are voting for officers and mission projects. Every confirmed female member is a member of the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society and is eligible to vote for the officers and the projects. Attached to the ballot is a brief description of the mission projects and profile of the candidates. The ballots and box are on the shelf in the lobby under the LWMS bulletin board. That's to the left when you leave this morning. We have a vacation Bible school coming up this summer for children who are 4 through 6th grade. And as always, we need a small army of people to pull this off. So when you get your announcement flyer this morning, on the back side, there are a whole bunch of opportunities for you to serve. The other thing you can do is if you have a child who will be participating in Vacation Bible School, you can get them registered. The website is there for you. It's stmarkslutheran.com/VBS, and that'll be where you can find everything you need to know for our Barnyard Roundup Vacation Bible School this summer. Another opportunity for children, we have some sports camp this summer. Basketball will be in June. Volleyball will be in July. There's information at the school counter in the lobby this morning. If you'd like to sign your children up to participate in either the basketball or the volleyball camp, registration is due by June 1st, so that's coming very quickly. Please feel free to take a flyer. Last announcement is that two Sundays from now, June 5th, we'll be having our annual voters meeting. At this meeting, we elect ministry board chairman, which is extremely important in carrying out the work of our church. We also approve a budget, which is extremely important in our plan for ministry at St. Mark's for the next fiscal year. So you're encouraged to attend that voters meeting on June 5th. After the late service, we'll have a lunch over in the gym, and that'll continue right into the voters meeting at about 1 o'clock. Finally this morning, it's been a while since we shared one of these with you. We've got a spring school update, sharing some of the life of our school from the past few months. Please enjoy.
Him with gladness, let all the earth bring songs of praise, telling of his greatness. Know that the Lord we praise is God, he is God our maker, and we are his, that people called sheep within his pasture. Oh, enter in his gates with praise, his courts with grace.
Lord, after more.
joy unto the Lord, worship Him with gladness. Let all the earth bring songs of praise, telling of His greatness. Know that the Lord we praise is God, He is God our Maker, and we are His, that people called sheep within His pasture. With great thanksgiving, for He is God, His love endures morning after morning. Oh, shout for joy unto the Lord, see the way is open to live in peace beneath His great shade. He who knew no mark of sin took our sin upon Him, that we might be the righteousness of the God of heaven. Oh, enter in His gates with praise, His courts with great thanksgiving, for He has been His
I invite you over to the chapel to join the Sunday school students in opening their Sunday school with some fun singing of praise songs. And as you leave this morning, please greet one another. Thank you for your time.